What? We are back. Okay, great. Welcome back to the Type 1 Radio Lounge at www.type1radio.com. Thank you ever so much for tuning in live, if you are with us live right now. If not, thank you ever so much for tuning in to our archive program as we celebrate, which might not seem the appropriate thing, yet it is, Walpurgis Night 2016 with the man who wrote the book, Walpurgis Night, Volume 1, Mr. Thomas Sheridan from Sligo, Ireland. Thomas.
Oh, thank you for that. I was just listening to that the B-52s track. I mean, back in the day, I remember, like, even though I liked the band a lot, I remember thinking that was just a quirky pop song. But listening to it now, and I'm listening to a lot of their music now, compared to today's music, it's almost like surrealist. It's so it's not, you know, it's quite deep. It's not there's more there's a lot there's a darkness in it which I became aware that I was not aware of it back in the day. Because yeah, things like Siouxsie and the Banshees and the Charts and you know, like, you know, Bauhaus and overtly dark music at the same time. But when you listen to that now on its own isolated, you realize what a kind of a creepy song that is. In a good way.
It does sound a bit serial killery.
The way, you know, the chorus is so funny. I'll give you fish, I'll give you candy. But behind that, it's really interesting. It is kind of, it is very dark.
And the chords are quite droney. It's like a still quite nice
The
tune.
Drumming is kind of phonetic as well.
Sorry, Swami.
I said a bit of a Gregorian chant sort of thing.
Yeah, very much so. Well, they had two
See,
very
and
good female singers.
that's one of the things that today's individuated units of consciousness have a great deal of difficulty accepting is that there are exceedingly simple methods available to them right now, which will, in the perfection of their purpose, lead you to higher awareness. But if you do not engage in these things, then you are stuck and you are put upon, and you can do nothing more than become angry and dissatisfied and depressed over what you see going on around you and what you feel within you. But if you will use any of the means that have been available throughout human history, any of them, whichever one tickles your heart, go for it. Roll around in it, get it all over you. And you'll see relief. You will experience joy. You will understand contentment despite what the news says, despite what the media says, despite what the politicians say. You will come to understand your unbreakable connection to all that is, all that was, and all that can ever be. It's in you. It's not going to jump up and down to get your attention. It's just waiting for you to turn in that direction and become curious. And then you take one step and it will take nine to come and find you. It misses you. It hasn't forgotten you. You've only forgotten about it while playing the incarnation game, which is the nature of the play of consciousness as a human. And it doesn't matter what tradition, what religion, what any of this stuff. Okay. That's all foam on the surface of what's going on. But you can go deeper. Dig into your creativity. Dig into that which inspires you. Dig into that which brings you joy. And you will find there's far more than you ever thought was available.
Exactly. And magic unfolds then. Stuff that you're looking for magically just appears. If you're working on something or you need something, it's the most amazing thing that when you embark on the magical life, as I like to call it, stuff that you need just incredibly appears. There's a famous Colin Wilson story where he was writing a novel set in Ireland in about a pornographer set in Ireland back in the 1700s. And he needed a map of Dublin from that time. And he went into his library where there were thousands of books, and a book literally fell off the shelf with the page he needed, the map of the city in 1700, fell out. The day that happened to me, a good friend of mine gave me a copy of, it's actually a Freemasonic book that talks about, it's about basically Freemasons talking to one another about how Atlantis was this part of the world, and the megaliths are the remains of it. See, the Masons keep a lot of this stuff to themselves. And that literally fell into my hand today. When I walked into work, he handed it to me. I didn't even know he had it.
That happened to me as well. And quite curiously, it happened. I don't think it was actually on the 30th of April, but it was a cop. I was in Waterstones. And I was looking in the mind, body, spirit section, looking for a copy of the Illuminatus trilogy, which in the book, it all revolves around Walpurgis Night. I was like, all right, I can't see. I'll just ask the bookseller. And then literally turned around to go and speak, and there was like a little, sort of column of books, and it was right in front of me. Synchronicity works in very curious ways, I find.
Magic is very poetic. It's very poetic in how it develops.
And you couldn't plan it better, because you would write things based on your current understanding, and the synchronicities introduce you to a broader understanding and then another broader understanding, until eventually you are comfortably seated outside space and time continuum, observing everything.
When that sort of thing happens, it feels, there is like an energy with it, and it feels like you're being caught up on like a wave, and you're like
a rush.
You're sort of carried on that flow. Might just be.
And it's entirely natural.
It might be just like a fleeting.
It's got nothing to do with chemical intake. None of that. It just happens without asking for it, without knowing you can get a hold of it necessarily. It just happens. And then you go, oh, and then you learn to trust that.
Yeah, it's a bit like the sensation that you said, Nick. It's a lot like the sensation that you get when you have a deja vu. It's like, oh, that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like that's a thing you. Oh, that was interesting. Oh, what was that? Like that. It was almost like that.
Right.
And
you can't plan. It just happens. Yeah.
It always refocuses your attention.
Yep.
Because the universe doesn't give you what you want. The universe gives you what you need.
Exactly.
That's what you want and what you need. Two different things.
If you already knew what you needed, you would not need to be here.
Well, you mean you wouldn't be on the show with us? yeah. Wherever you are, you're always here.
There
wherever.
You go.
Thanks very much. I have a very warm place in my heart for Type 1 and you guys.
Thank you, Thomas.
I have very, very happy memories of some great times there.
Yeah, yeah.
They will continue. That's it. You know, it'll only echo and perhaps get better. Who knows?
So we've been going for sort of like 5.5 years. 5.5 years.
Jesus.
And in that time, there's been a lot of spotlight and a lot of change within this melee of what we term alternative media. I'd like to get what your take, Thomas, on how this it's not a movement. This sort of
how it's.
How you see it and how it has evolved over the time that you've been associated with this thing. What's your take?
That's a great question. I'm delighted you asked me that because it's something I would love to. I want to talk about. Very good. I've always been into this stuff since I was a kid. I mean, I don't remember not being into alternative ideas ever. I mean, I was, I was reading alternative magazines and books at a very, very young age. And I always knew things were strange. I was reading magic books when I was 9, for fuck's sake, and so I grew up. I don't know. I was like born into this kind of thinking. Absolutely, I was. I was never not into it. So I never had a waking up experience. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that feels like. And so that to me, what happened was right. Things became very different after 9/11. Before 9/11. Conspiracy, shall we call it, which is what we're really talking about in this element of the thing, how, people like us met.
Yeah, yeah.
That was not considered a fruitcake thing. It was quite mainstream. And like when I lived in New York and played in bands, we used to talk about conspiracies all the time. It was kind of a bohemian kind of thing, very much so. And so I grew up never seeing conspiracy as anything other than a normal discourse that people talk about in the same way they talk about historical what ifs.
Yeah,
and then that fucking TV show, The X-Files, came along. And I now believe that The X-Files was written in mind to actually destroy this idea. But The X-Files started attaching conspiracies to things like aliens. Now, when I was growing up, aliens and conspiracies were never the same thing. There were two different studies. If you were interested in, say, the JFK assassination, you were only interested in that or in cults or in serial killers like I was, and things like book, and you read books by people like David Yalop and stuff like that. If you're into the global conspiracy, you read books by Noam Chomsky, and even the magazines even back then, like Utney Reader and Mama Jones were actually quite good. You know, they were quite hardcore and out there. And then after this X-Files happened, it started to attach everything conspiratorial towards spacemen and aliens and Roswell and all this nonsense. And that they're two different things, okay? The UFO people and the aliens conspiracy people did not interact. And that glued the two things together. That was the first. That was the beginning of the mess that was about to come. Then when 9/11 happened, and my opinion of 9/11 is the same thing it's been from the day it happened, is that Bin Laden and those hijackers were involved in it, but they were patsies. They were patsies. Right. There was someone else behind them working, possibly the CIA or some Gladio-type operation, working through the Saudi royal family. But those guys actually thought they were doing it, but they didn't. They were probably surprised when they saw the plane was flying itself into the towers. Something like that happened, okay? But it was definitely a Sirhan Sirhan type thing. Immediately, this is why I never talk about 9/11 conspiracies, because very early on, I realized that the conspiracy was the conspiracy. You understand? This was the idea, was that they would create the idea of a conspiracy, and as soon as George Bush said, very high-profile speech, "We will not tolerate any talk of conspiracy," I was saying, well, that proves that they want you to talk about the conspiracy, because he wouldn't put that word out there otherwise, in order to fire up people. And so people were obsessed with all the minutia of how the towers came down, what this, the money, the gold, all these other things. So they wouldn't look at the real thing that really went on, is that those jihadists that did wear in those planes and did those things, and Bin Laden, were actually patsies for something even bigger behind that, almost certainly connected to the Saudi royal family and a Gladio-type operation, which we'll never know the names of, because it would have been immediately disbanded right after it happened. And it was all tied in together. We'll never know the full truth, so I never talk about it for that reason. But that became, 9/11 became the sacred and holy sacrament of alternative thinking, that everything went back to that. It became what Roswell was to the UFO people, 9/11 became that. So everything came was 9/11. So while all the conspiracy theorists and that the emergence of the truthers, right, these truthers that came along, the obsession with studying that was deliberately done to take the eye off the ball of things that we really needed to look at, like the mass medication of children, the mass medication of society, the growth of all these kinds of things, the demolition of, the removal of corporate governance laws, so corporations could do whatever the fuck they wanted. And that's in the past, this is what people would have been concerned about. But you had all this noise, this, that, and that, and the other, and it took the ball. So when you create a holy sacrament, what you do then is you bring in religious fanatics. And you have people who are religious fanatics. Now, you had two strands to this. You had the traditional conspiracy theorist, which I'm proud to say I come from that. I'm no problem with that at all. I'm very much interested in conspiracy and always have and always will be. And on the other hand, you had the truthers, right? Now, the truthers were like the flat earthers of their day. And they were basically came from a world of Bible Belt, redneck, racist, 1970s bullshit. There was these groups in the American Bible Belt in the 70s who came up with the idea of the New World Order. They came up with the idea that the Holocaust never happened. They came up with the idea of all these things. And they were all eventually, when they were all taken down like the Posse Comitatus, they were found out to be all being handled by the FBI. They were a roundup operation, like the Michigan Militia and all this. That is where the truthers, that's their spiritual path that they came from, religious fanaticism. And I and a few others who could objectively absorb this from the outside said that they would return to Christianity eventually, to fundamentalist Christianity. And it's happened. It happened through the flat earth thing. And the flat earth thing was absolutely a psyop. A gentleman I know who's a very well-known journalist, I can't mention his name, who's right up there at the top. If I mention his name, most people have heard of him. He told me that the flat earth thing was probably invented by the Russians to discredit NASA and to make everybody in the West look like idiots, a kind of a a propaganda kind of weapon. So they say, you know, the Russians could say to their people, sure, look at the Americans and look at the Brits. Half of them believe the earth is flat. And so that was it. Right. And by building that up, and also then allowed any kind, first of all, it allowed every kind of, anyone who had any kind of counterculture thinking, suddenly we were all flat earthers. And I was, as soon as the flat earth thing came out, I was extremely outspoken about it. I said, this bullshit has to stop now, instantaneously. Get away from it. This is clearly a psyop. It's gaslighting in the extreme, and it's going to destroy, but it also turned out to be a good thing. We'll talk about the Kali aspects of this, the Lucifer aspects of it, the Hakate aspects of it. So what we had is, it's now dead. There is no alternative movement. There's no alternative scene. What happened was, the flat earthers and anyone connected to the flat earth, anyone who indulged it in any way, and even the ones who sat on the fence and did nothing about it, have killed this whole counterculture because they've thrown it into the shitter. But it's a good thing, because what we have now is we have the destruction of something that was going nowhere anyway, and what we have now left is the cream from the crop. The ones who are who ignored it, guys like us, we can now get back to the work we used to do, where we could put a critical eye, as Nick said in the beginning of the show, to keep the conversation going in the way it should be going, a critical eye on the bullshit. And that we're now allowed to focus. And even I would say to people, forget about 9/11, whatever the fuck happened, we'll never know the truth. It's been years and years ago now. Let's move on. Let's look at the future. Let's start looking for the archetypes and the simulacres and golems in charge, the golems at the top, who are what they're up to now. And this is where it's important. So the way I see it is we've been fine-tuned now. Like, I will not have anything to do with anyone who anyway indulged in the flat earth. Even if they said things like, it's interesting. The earth is a fucking ball, and that's the end of it. Over. And if you went down that road, you have no credibility. It doesn't matter if the rest of your work is great. It's gone. You're done. You're over. You're finished. Go back to what you used to do before you were a truth guru. Go back to, I don't know what you did, working McDonald's or whatever you did. Go back there, because you've no place in alternative counterculture anymore. You have exposed yourself as an opportunist muppet who'll say anything for donations and anything for hits on YouTube. And that's the end. That's my final statement on this. Let me finish this, Nick. It's okay. My attitude now is debt to the alternative movement. Long live the alternative movement. That's the point of this now, because we've had this flat earth thing was the civil war created by the intelligence services within the scene. It tore it to bits, also exposed the Muppets and the Lulas.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that it was a sort of Occupy type, an Occupy Mind project where, you know, instead of having the people on the streets, it's focusing them on the screen and watching fucking ridiculous
and fighting amongst one another
ridiculous videos. Just another psyop, as you said, crazy. And it's what it did show is how the lack of critical thinking skills, people who could have had some very poignant work or, you know, raising some interesting, conversations, and yet then being so completely duped into, as faked videos as possibly NASA do. I have no idea what NASA does but
a completely dead end road.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. And look at it this way, right? There's an emerging theory which myself and some others have like indulged. When I began looking at this stuff, there was books, there was magazines, and there was fanzines, right? When 9/11 came along and a new generation came in, there were desktop computers and then laptops, right? Now they're watching these flat earth videos on Androids and iPhones. The focus has been construed down into a small scrying screen, right? So it's like the hypnotist, you know, the little coin the hypnotist has that watch the coin, watch the light.
Yeah.
When you're looking at something on a small screen, your peripheral vision has been destroyed.
Yeah.
So you're now under the hypnosis of the digital gin, okay? It's now a scrying screen, and there's nothing, reality doesn't exist anymore because, excuse me, you're so totally focused within this little black screen, okay? You have a pair of headphones on you. You have headphones on you where when we were in the previously to that, you had the speakers beside your PC, right? So headphones on, tiny screen, absolute focus, peripheral experience, both oral and visual is gone. You know, all you can smell is your own dick below you. You can't. That's all you have. The only outside experience you have, right? So therefore, you're completely in there, right? You're completely in there, right? And that's a hypnotic experience.
Well,
people who are very easily spellbound were spellbound by these ridiculous videos on the flat earth on the little scrying device because of absolute focus into a tiny screen.
And do you think that the way people intake information from a screen and the way in which people digest information from a book are so different, but seemingly the same, that people... I find it really hard to read stuff on the screen because I don't take it in.
Yeah, me too.
And
I print it out if I really want. Yeah.
And when you know, I don't know how people ever used Kindles, because when you've got a book, you're transported into that book, aren't you? Whereas if you
it's the process.
There's a detachment from exactly. You and the information on the screen, and yeah,
that's bang on.
Especially
if it's video and word, video and sound.
Yeah.
Because if you're reading a book, or even if you're reading online, your cognition first has to translate those little pictograms on the screen or those little characters into words in your mind. So therefore, your cognition is already kicked in. It's reading. Where if you're watching a video, especially on a small screen, with your headphones, with some douchebag going, "They've lied to us, the earth is flat," and all this crap, it's quite disturbing because it then focuses directly with your subconscious mind because your cognition is not being used. So therefore, this bullshit, you've got basically an open sewer pouring into your subconscious mind.
Yes, it's being
and when it goes into your subconscious, you don't remember learning it. You don't remember learning it. But it's like MK Ultra. The same motherfuckers who go on about MK Ultra, allowed themselves to be MK Ultra'd by flat earth videos. There's an irony for you.
Yeah, and yeah,
without enjoying the effect of the drugs used in the original MK Ultra experiments.
Yeah, but a lot of these truthers would be smoking a lot of GMO skunk. And drinking Carlsberg special brew. So there's the drug. So all they have to do then is, and then the arrogance that comes with it, you know, and then to see, but it also, you said, okay, it exposed that so many people have no critical thinkings. It also exposed that so many of the so-called truth gurus are absolute prostitutes. They're no better than, they're fixing truth tricks down to the docks.
Yes.
That's all they're interested in. They're like,
it's online snake oil salesman. Simple as that.
Yep.
People are so hoodwinked by, seemingly flashy websites that project authority. People would rather take the validity as true than actually go and research themselves, and from reliable sources.
Yeah. Yeah. The most reliable source of all is to stand on top of a mountain and look into the distance, or look across something like the Bristol Channel, or look across from New Jersey to New Manhattan, and you see, especially if you look through binoculars or through a telephoto lens on your video camera, that the bottom of the buildings are below the sea. They're on the other side of the curve. You don't need anything else. It's the easiest thing to validate. Stand on the coastline, look across an island, or look across an estuary, a long estuary. Not something. I mean, I've literally seen videos where these fucking Muppets were standing on the beach with a video camera, panning the horizon, saying, "I don't see any curved water, do you?" Like, they're real smart. Like, they've got this special sacred knowledge. They're like born again Christians. They're so so smug. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Let them get up to 30,000 feet and take a peek.
But you don't even see it.
You ain't going to see it.
You don't even see it from an aircraft. You don't even, the Earth is so big, you don't even see it from an aircraft unless you're in like one of these high altitude, Russian jet fighters, or that one the Americans have, the Lockheed Starfighter, that go literally into space. You can't see it, but you can. The best way to see it is across an estuary or across to buildings or mountains on the other side, say about 20 miles away. You can see the bottom because the sea is in the way.
Do you think that it also exemplifies people's perception of themselves in that, like you say, the Earth is fucking massive compared to us, and people are thinking that. I'm so important and big that I should be able to see this curvature with my naked eye.
Well, a lot of them don't actually know what nature is anymore. We're talking about people who sit in all day playing gaming consoles, or they're looking at these YouTube videos. They don't have any relationship to the natural world anymore. They don't understand things like, I mean, I've seen, you maybe have not seen it, Swami, but maybe you have. You know, Nick, that famous scene in Father Ted where they're in the caravan and he has the little plastic cows and he goes to Dougal, "These, one more time, Dougal," and he holds up the little toy plastic farm animals. "These are small and the ones out field are far away." And he goes, "No, I still don't get it." Like, because he couldn't understand why the cows in the distance were the same size as the cows in the toy plastic cows in his hand. That's what they're like. That came to pass as truth. I never realized how many, I don't know what to call them. That would actually, Niall Murphy on his radio show, Shamanic Freedom Radio, he did a brilliant thing on the flat Earth. He said, if the Earth was the size of a soccer ball, right, an airplane like a 737 would be a speck of dust less than a quarter of a millimeter off the surface.
Yeah.
That's how small you are. So that's how difficult it is to detect the curve. Yet they think that they literally think that they're standing on a tennis ball. That's like what they're like.
And also, the water thing, like pouring water over a tennis ball.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That, you look at these videos and you just say, like, You know, you look at them and you cannot believe, you're waiting for the guy to burst out laughing that he's playing a joke on you.
I don't think I've actually watched
that he's serious
for any length of time enough to have that Never. Thought.
I only watched one, I think it was a Scottish fella, and I don't know where, he was definitely from the UK, this part of the world, well, Europe. Part of the world, and he was pouring water over a basketball, and he was saying, you see, it doesn't stick to it, so the earth has to be flat, and earth can't form a sphere. And I'm like, have you ever seen a picture of a raindrop?
Yeah. Exactly. See, this Swami uses the raindrop analogy to explain to people how there is an ocean. Let's just, for the sake of this conversation, say there's one ocean, okay? The constituents of the water evaporate into the clouds. The clouds condense, and when the condensation overrides the cloud's ability to hold it, rain occurs. The drop of rain is no different than the ocean it came from. But for a limited period in space and time, that drop of ocean appears to be individual until
Beautiful.
It's ocean again. Now, show me where the drop is. It's not different. It just changed in perspective. That's it.
As above, so below.
There you go.
The drop
falls, That's the real drop meaning
falling
of
from
it.
The cloud is the same as the earth falling through space.
Yes.
So you can't explain it to them. They're fanatics. They're crazed fanatics. No.
Yeah.
And why do you think that the rise and fall of the flat Earth became so big, and yet theories about the inner Earth have always been like a very subculture? You know, they've never got the prominence that has become.
For the same reason, until World War II, there was almost nothing in the English language printed about Atlantis. It was almost nothing. Most of in France, nearly every book published on Atlantis was in French in France, and nobody because that's the plausible one, and the real one is the one they don't want you to know. I believe that there is an inner earth, but I don't believe it's like the one where there's an internal sun and that stuff. But I believe there are vast cave systems down there, vast worlds that microbes and lives and maybe even developed beings could live in. You know, I'm talking about, like, we show that life can evolve or change to adapt to anywhere. And, I do believe very strongly that it is a vast, shall we say, uncharted territory that we've been told about inside this planet. And what better way than to hide that, to continue to hide that, than create a flat earth idea?
Yeah, yeah. It's very...
The conspiracy
right,
is
people were
the
so
conspiracy.
For conspiracy thinking. You know,
yeah,
and anything
that further proves
from the truth, great. They'll give all the support, all the exposure to anything that moves people away from truth.
And now with the fall of that flat Earth debacle through association, it doesn't matter now whether it's hollow or flat, that it's all in one bag now, isn't it? So it's all just junk rather than, you know, like you say, that I'd agree with you there that that the probably is some very, very big caves that that things could survive and prosper in, definitely. But that's that's all now been bagged up and tapered with the flat Earth.
Yeah, and also the space exploration thing. 10 years ago, there was some great interest in these. The U.S. Navy has launched these remarkable spaceships into space. They have literally a fleet out there of the Star Wars. Remember Reagan's Star Wars initiative?
Yeah.
Well, that happened. The U.S. Navy is really the one. The U.S. Navy is the real force in space, not NASA.
Office of Naval Intelligence.
Big time. They're the ones who launch most of the rockets and everything. It never gets reported. We get to see the shuttle go up. We don't get to see the Navy's rockets going up from there. They mostly launched them down in somewhere in the South Pacific somewhere. But they launched them from ships as well, from like aircraft carrier decks. And these rockets, these remarkable spaceships are up in space with these remarkable technologies, and they're pointing at us. And what the conspiracy people should be saying is, what is up there in space? What did the U.S. Navy, why has the U.S. Navy launched so many rockets in recent years? What was the payload? What were they building up there? Where did 3D printers come from? And what kind of 3D printing technology is being done in space? Instead, the flat earthers have created this psychotic notion that there's a dome above the earth, a glass dome above the earth, and that satellites don't actually exist.
So
the conspiracy is the conspiracy.
There was a recent US TV show about a town that was covered with a dome.
Under the dome.
Yeah, under the dome.
Under the dome, what it's called, yeah. It was based on a Stephen King story.
Do you think that was...
Yeah, predictive programming, The Truman Show. The Truman Show. It's predictive programming. It's to make them all get excited, and you know they get a truth boner, and they all think, oh, they're blowing the whistle. They're blowing the motherfucking whistle. No, they're not. They're telling you how to think. You are being MK Ultra. Can you not see that? Mm-hmm. MK Ultra is not them. MK Ultra is not Miley Cyrus and Lady Gaga. MK Ultra is you know Nobby from Milton Keynes, who's fired up on flat earth videos. He's the MK Ultra.
And this is the situation between how we intake knowledge is only going to exacerbate because in the schools today, rather than when myself or Thomas or Swami were at school, where we used pen and paper and read books, had the time to contemplate the information that was being taken in. Now the pupils at the schools are using iPads and they're just looking at screens where, as we've said before, that the delay in the uptaking information is staggering from actual physical books. I'm not certain, but I'm sure that the majority of textbooks, as we once had, are all just PDF files now in schools. I'd hazard a guess that was correct, that pretty much all of them are just PDFs that the kids and the way that the information is presented, it leads you to scan it. You don't take in, you scan, and you just scan the next page. And so the cognitive process there is leading to, you know, when these kids get to university or you know, job level, that they are, and with all that, you've got the advent of the cashless society and paying stuff with your face, your selfie.
Yeah.
That is the future. People just walk up to a camera and they're given stuff. It is Pavlov's dog to the nth degree.
And the whole selfie thing is this idea, people were saying that the selfies were created by the CIA so everyone would have an updated photograph on their intelligence file.
Yeah.
That could be true. That could be true.
I'd agree with that.
I mean, they are psychopaths, but you have to, at times you have to say, fuck me, they're genius in terms of their deviousness. But at the same time, too, when all these people who take selfies of themselves, what they're really saying is, I'm not out here in the real world, I'm in there with the digital gin.
Yes.
Well, great appreciations and cosmic high fives to our good friend Freeman Fly, who facilitated the birth of Type 1 Radio.
Yay!
And also, from the very beginning, tried to tell people this entire 9/11 thing is for your reaction. Don't give it to them. Because once you do, you're off on that rabbit hole that comes up to nothing.
Yeah. And it's the same with all this symbolism. All these people looking for satanic symbols and all seeing eyes and triangles and all this stuff. That was and being afraid of them. It's like the number 13. The number 13 is a lucky number, but they keep that number for themselves. And you know, my attitude is if you're stop being enslaved by magic and start using magic. So instead, ask yourself, why did I use the all-seeing eye? Why is it everywhere? Why did I cover one eye? Why did he make that symbol where they have the two fingers on their hand up? What's that all about? Why are we told the number 13 is unlucky? What's going on here? Then you realize that you're just like it's like they're keeping the good stuff that works for themselves, including ideas like Lucifer and stuff like that. And what they do is, it's like the magazine on the top shelf. You're a little kid and you go by the comic books, and all the porn mags in the old days were in brown paper bags on the top shelves. That's where they are. And you have no idea that this whole life, this whole sexual world that exists, and those bags, those brown paper, those magazines in brown paper at the top of the shelf are the windows into that world. And then when you're 9 or 10 or 11, you find a titty mag or something like Playboy or something like that when we were growing up. I couldn't remember the first time I was shown a porn mag by my friend who found his dad, say, copies of, what was there, some Mayfair. Yeah. Do you remember that one, Nick? It was an English porn mag.
Yeah.
And I can remember, it was like landing. I was about 8 or 9. It was like the two of us landed on another planet, and we were seeing another planet. But we were seeing another reality that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
And I can remember the giggles. We were laughing hysterically. We just, the naughtiness of it. You know, the kind of a thing. It was a thrill in that. Well, they know how we operate. They know how we operate, and they're always seeking to create those thrills. And things like the flat earth are it, but also the conspiracies are it too for these people. That I know something that you don't. I've got insight into a world. But they get it all wrong. A little boy looking at his daddy's titty mags when he's 9 has not sexually developed, so he doesn't understand the power, that there's a power and an energy in those images that produce sexual urges and so on. Until he's much older. Well, it's the same thing with them. With all the truthers who are terrified of these symbols, like the all-seeing eye, and all this, and the occult, and all this kind of thing. They know there's something to it, but they're not fully aware that it creates experiences and sensations for the ones who use it. And so instead of learning how to use the magic themselves, they shun it, and they become almost like Puritans of symbolism.
Yeah, they're not willing to suspend their reality tunnel enough to investigate the true nature of symbols and word spells and how they can affect reality.
And if they do it on a lazy level. They do it on a lazy level. They look at one or two things with legalese, and then they leave it at that. They don't understand that they can actually create language themselves, which, like, they don't want to learn about magic. I mean, I've done two shows. It's changing, though. Things. This is the good thing about, like I was saying, we've got the cream of the crop now. We've got the flat earth thing has taken all those Muppets off to the landfill, but we have the cream of the crop now. I've done two shows on the velocity of now in the last 2 weeks on magic, and both the hits and both the comments and the reactions is off the scale. It's like people are finally saying, thank God someone is telling us at last what this stuff means for real and how it's useful
and
to us.
Rather than being afraid of it. Don't know if you recall it, but this Swami, right after your first show on magic, said thank you for marching straight through the terms, the concepts that would pull so many off to the side. You marched straight through that to what is available, what is real, what actually works, as opposed to what is titillating, what would attract our very easily attached or averted human nature. You just went straight forward right through it, and in very simple terminology, understandable, nothing you need initiated into other than the way it's described. And then utilize it, and you will find from the utilization, you will realize the truth of how things work. And it's a step by step by step process. But if you never get any introduction to it, it just seems freaky and spacey and all that stuff.
And if you come from that sort of like born again Bible Belt Christian world of the kind of the American style truthers, no offense, Swami, the ones in this part of the world have picked up on that as well. They have a Christian idea to it, and a Christian identity that it's all evil, it's all bad. Like someone said to me the other day, wasn't Aleister Crowley the most evil human being that ever lived? And I was like, how many millions of people did he kill?
Yeah.
These truthers actually believe that Aleister Crowley was more dangerous than was more evil than Pol Pot or Hitler or Stalin or Chairman Mao. They actually believe he was more evil than that.
Well,
and that's because they don't know. They lack perspective, just like the flat Earth thing. They lack perspective.
And it's also a reframing and distraction to the fact that we are all magicians and we create every second that we are perceiving, and that.
Mere perception, the mere observation of something changes its outcome.
Type one radio is a 5.5-year-old magic spell. That's what it is. End of story. It was Nick's 5.5-year-old magic spell, and it was birthed in consciousness. He came up with the idea. He thought it up. He originally had it. He really had it in Blog Talk, right? And that was sort of like the lower part of the initiation, the lower part of the rite. Then moves it into his own URL, has his own player, and now the spell is developing. The pebble in the swimming pool is creating bigger waves. That is all magic is. And everything you do and create is a magic spell. And when we start to live our lives like that, knowing that everything we do, all these react everything has these consequences, we will find that our lives are infinitely much more pleasurable and enjoyable.
And also to see the wonder in the world every day, because that will
very important. Very important.
That will just give you a smile, which will ease your presence.
And it will help you. It will help you become comfortable in humility, that you do not know everything, but everything's out there. What do you want to touch today?
Exactly. Instead of uploading selfies of yourself to Instagram or Facebook or pictures of what your dinner is, upload sunsets, interesting things you see on the street.
Butterflies.
Or even like an interesting piece of graffiti on a wall beside a train station.
Yeah.
Anything. So something that enhances the visual experience of everybody. And that way you will find what you're doing is these people are constantly uploading selfies of themselves, is what they're doing is they're putting a black magic curse on themselves, because they're eventually going to piss off people who will turn around and say, she's narcissistic or he's narcissistic. And I'm not saying they are, but that's what will happen. And what happens is you're going to bring some very bad juju towards yourself. What you're doing is you're taking yourself and it's why native and indigenous cultures don't like having their photographs taken, because they feel a piece of their soul has been stolen. Now people are willingly giving their soul away non-stop. But if you can put up, rather than constantly putting up pictures of yourself.
Two corporations.
Yeah, your creations.
Corporation. If you like Facebook or Instagram, who are owned by Facebook, you're basically giving part of your soul to this soulless entity.
Now, there's nothing wrong with putting up the odd one now and again, but these ones are due constantly. Mm-hmm. And if you make a funny face or something funny, you're at a party, you're drunk or something, that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. But there's literally people who do nothing but upload selfies of themselves. What they do is they become a kind of a god of themselves or an icon of themselves, and they begin to worship themselves.
There was a program all about that on telly over here a few months ago. It was basically a load of children of millionaires that are all over the various social medias, just like taking pictures of themselves, and it's almost like a vacuous quest of fulfillment. They're trying to fill the void by entering the void.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it leads to a total dead end rather than the infinite freedom.
Yeah, it turns into a void.
Another one that concerns me is people who take a photograph of their meals in a restaurant or at home right before they eat them. I'm very interested in the occult of food, this idea of food having an occult-like aspect to it. It's like I wouldn't eat in Gordon Ramsay's restaurant, because while he's screaming and shouting in the kitchen, fuck this, fuck that, and banging things, that energy is directly impregnated into the food you consume. So you're eating the food.
The cooks are sweating, wondering if they're going to have a job, and their indecision and anxiety goes into what you consume.
Let me finish this.
Okay, quickly.
Can I just fit?
Quickly.
Don't upload pictures of food you're just about to eat, because people can be resentful, dislike it. It will go into the food, and you will ingest that hatred into your body, and it will lead to disease.
And on that bombshell, We will see. Thank you very much, Thomas. It's been
thanks, guys. So I'll be back anytime you want me back. Anytime you want me back.
You're always welcome. Great. And thanks to everybody. We'll see you next week on TaiwanRadio.com. Take care, folks.
Namaste and blessings. Om Namo.